Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Arun Roth. In March of 2018, 22-year-old Stephon Clark was shot and killed by police officers while standing in his backyard in Sacramento, California. The officers were responding to reports of car break-ins in the neighborhood. Clark was unarmed. After his death, hundreds of Sacramento residents took to the streets to protest.
I don't need you to be sorry, because I can't do nothing when I'm sorry, okay? We tired of the sorries and the trying to exploit our pain and all that. Okay, we trying to move forward for Stephon Clark.
In response to Clark's death, California State Senator Nancy Skinner drafted a bill called SB 1421. Her goal, to make certain police misconduct files more accessible to the public.
Her argument was that the public should have access to information about these investigations, regardless of whether the officers are at fault or not, that this information should be something that belongs in the public discussion.
That's Abby Van Sickle, a reporter for the Marshall Project. And for this week's edition of Case in Point, she examined whether SB 1421 signals a sea change in California after decades of rigid police privacy laws.
California has some of the most restrictive laws governing police misconduct records in the country. So that means that for the public and anyone who's, you know, if you're a journalist, you're looking for information about a police-involved shooting, that those records were largely closed. Anything to do with something in a police officer's misconduct file were protected, and the reason given was officer privacy. So that's been in place for a long time in California.
Now, California is not the only state to restrict public access to police misconduct files, but it varies from state to state. Could you give us a sense of how California relates to other states in terms of how restrictive they are?
So there are some states like Florida that have really open public records laws on that particular area. California has some of the most restrictive laws in the country. In California, one thing that's unusual is that prosecutors in a criminal case don't have access to see an entire personnel file of an officer. So, for example, you know, in most cases that a prosecutor brings, at least one of the witnesses is going to be a law enforcement witness of some kind. And if that prosecutor wants to prepare to know, has this witness lied on the stand before? Have they inappropriately used force? Is there anything that's going to be problematic about that witness that the prosecutor does not have access to see the personnel file? And the prosecutor also, under Brady v. Maryland, a famous Supreme Court case, is supposed to be able to disclose information to the defense, to an accused, that's favorable to a defendant. They're required to do that. And so there's sort of a cumbersome, slow process in California right now to try to thread that needle.
The system is starting to change in California because of this law, SB 1421, which was created in the aftermath of that 2018 police shooting of 22-year-old Stephon Clark. Can you talk a bit more about what SB 1421 is intended to do?
So SB 1421 is a new public records transparency bill. It was signed by Governor Brown in September. It went into effect in January, and it's designed to give the public, which, you know, also includes prosecutors and defense lawyers and journalists, access to certain categories of records. And so these are things like officer-involved shootings, sexual assault cases where there's a founded allegation of an on-duty officer, dishonesty by officers. And so these certain categories of records are now under the law open to the public. It's been controversial in terms of how this law is being implemented. And a lot of police unions and a lot of departments have been pushing back on the idea that this law, whether or not it's retroactive, so whether or not it only applies to records that start after this new year, or whether it can go back decades, so the public suddenly has access to, you know, police shootings cases from decades ago.
That's a pretty big question. How does that get resolved?
I don't have a great answer to that yet, other than that Senator Skinner, who's the one who had pushed this bill, has come out quite clearly to say that it is retroactive. So in her view, this legislation was designed to be retroactive. However, there are a number of court cases going on right now that are kind of bubbling up through the state courts to try to examine that question.
So it's only a few weeks in, and it sounds like it's already kind of complicated. Do you feel like you could say where things might go from here?
I can't read the tea leaves on this to know exactly. It is definitely complicated. And if this bill is retroactive and all these records suddenly become available to the public, then I think it's fair to say that it's a sea change in the way that these type of records are handled in California.
So we can understand from that Supreme Court case, you know, that prosecutors or defense attorneys would need to have access to these records, the legal argument for that. But what's the argument for making these records available to the general public?
The argument that was brought up in the legislature is that where there are allegations of police use of force or sexual misconduct by police, that the public should be able to see the process and the results of any investigation into it. And so it's a transparency argument that the public, especially in cases like Stephon Clark's shooting, that the public has a right to know the way that police are handling these investigations and the way that these highly public, controversial cases unfold.
What about the privacy concerns, though? And say if it's maybe not a case like Stephon Clark or something that might even be borderline, and the concerns about the privacy of the officers, people getting doxxed, things like that.
Sure. So concerns about privacy of officers, that has been, you know, a main tenet of the way that California law has handled these issues. So it is a weighing, it's a balancing between privacy of officers involved and, you know, other things in the personnel files that are private versus what the public deserves to know. And that's a continuing debate here in California.
And in terms of reporting, you know, our job, since this varies from state to state, how does that affect our public picture of the state of police misconduct in America?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really important question. I was a reporter in Florida, and a lot of this information was easily accessible. So we were able to explain things and to give things to the public. You know, regardless of who was found at fault, people had, I think, an ability to be able to tell the story of what happened in a clear way. And in California, you know, it's much more difficult to be able to explain the process for making a decision in a case and exactly what happened.
Abby Van Sickle is a reporter for the Marshall Project. Abby, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.